Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen, I cringe a little bit when I hear people say, well, the pitching's so poorly, they need to look at their pitching coach. You tell me, Dan Lavangi, pitching coach, last year to this year, what do you see with him?
No, I mean, it's like Juan Nieves a few years ago, you know? He won the World Series, and then something happened. I don't think it's Dana. I don't think it's Banny. I don't think it's CB. It's just a matter that in certain days, we didn't execute. I think at the end, we can talk all about vertical attack or east-west. It comes down to executing pitches, and we didn't do that often this year, and we paid the price.
That's funny. That's Alex Cora talking right there.
Wasn't exactly as glowing as I thought I was trying to set him up to be with Dana Lavangi, I must admit.
So Dana Lavangi, who was great last year, who was brilliant last year, and Brian Bannister, his assistant, who was terrific and brilliant last year because they won the World Series. They were able to jury-rig without having a great bullpen into the postseason. They have been let go by the Red Sox. Now, Lavangi's going to stay in a different capacity. And
no, Bannister's moving a different direction. Similar.
Oh, that's right. He's going. They're all going to different jobs. So this is where I think this one is unfair. Do you believe that Alex Cora made this call?
I do not.
So if Alex Cora didn't make the call, we have no general manager running the operation now. We have the four, you know, Kings men or whatever that are doing
it. Four horsemen?
Four horsemen. Thank you very much. That are doing this thing right now. And nobody is in charge. What are we doing?
Well, I'll say this. I say that because I don't think... I know how people feel about Dana Lavangi. I know how this pitching staff felt about the Dana Lavangi and this news. So, that you would fire him. I just don't.
So...
I just think he's I just think he's that good. So, I don't think Alex wanted to move on from him. So, I just think that when he talked to him that day... I don't even know. So, I don't
know... I mean, it's pretty easy to figure out who's doing it.
Go ahead.
Hi.
It's just John Henry. Who else would it be?
It's crazy.
It would be the four minds coming together. You think John Henry changed his whole scouting department? Do you think he really knows all
random.
Those guys, the inside workings of their scouting department?
Who's
guys?
There's no GM there, Lou.
They got four guys running the show.
Okay.
Four people, I should
so
say.
So those guys have the power already, even though they're to hire and fire staff, scouting, and all
it's
that, and make wholesale changes?
It's stupid
without,
if they do.
Knowing that a new GM's coming in?
How do you reassign your scouting department when the new GM could come in here and say, I don't like that guy. I like the guy that I'm from Oakland because I'm Billy Bean. Or I like the guy from Minnesota. I like our department because I'm the kid, the local guy that's out there. How do you start making some of these moves without a GM in the first place? And listen, like you said, I understand it. You know, it's a scapegoat thing, right? Team was bad. Pitching was bad. Get rid of the pitching coach.
Who's buying the scapegoat stuff? Well, hold on with the scapegoat stuff because I've already heard that today. Do you think there's any Red Sox fan that's out there saying, oh, my God. We've solved the pitching problem. Forget about the health of Price or Sale. We got rid of Dana Lavangi. We solved it. That's a joke.
I think there's some people that think it was time to move on.
That's a joke.
I don't
joke.
Agree with them. You can look at what happened with these guys. Now, I forget who wrote the article in the Globe. I don't even recognize the writer. I have no clue who it was. But it said, you know, Chris Sale, the organization felt it was a mechanical issue. It was never figured out, and that's on Dana Lavangi. Do you really think that Chris Sale was a mechanical issue last year?
No.
Raise your hand if you really think that what bothered Chris Sale last year was ever mechanical and was never physical.
No.
So you've got Nate Eovaldi, who your GM invested in, who can never be healthy, you know, through four games and just is not really a great pitcher. You know, he gave him money because of what happened in the World Series. You had David Price, who threw the ball real well before he popped off to Dennis Eckersley. Put a little pressure on himself, undeservingly. I don't know why he even did it. And then got hurt. And Chris Sale was hurt all year. So, are we going to get on him?
And no closer.
For not, like, turning Thornburg around? Brazier? Like, okay, Workman is the best reliever in baseball. Darwinson Hernandez, Josh Taylor came up, threw the ball real well. Barnes was effective early on.
Erod almost
won 20 games, almost.
Yeah, right.
So you're sitting there saying, okay, I understand. It was a bad year. But I just, I just refuse to believe it was on the pitching coach.
I think it's a joke.
The other thing is, wouldn't the manager, like if this is my staff, like if I was coaching a football team, I would know whether the offensive line was any good or not, and if it was his fault, and whether or not he should be fired. You know, the wide receiver coach, the D-line coach, whatever.
So,
I mean, you think Alex Cora wants to sit there and fire Dana Lavangie?
So why didn't they fire Alex Cora? Because Alex Cora was great last year, and this year all of those things popped up. So maybe he didn't work well with Sale. Maybe he didn't work well with Price. Why didn't they fire him?
Right.
Okay, this scapegoat stuff is the dumbest thing in the world. Your players didn't perform, okay? Maybe you can sit there and chastise Alex Cora for not getting him ready out of spring. I'll give you that. But you've got four guys right now that are running the organization and making decisions, and the manager has no say in it, Lou? He doesn't have a say whether Lavangie is back as the pitching coach?
Yeah, maybe. Listen, maybe he, I don't know. I just think that when it comes down to Dana Lavangie, I don't think he fired him. That's all. Maybe I'm completely off base, but I just don't think he did. So
it's a bad look, I think, for Alex, though.
But to your point, I think Tomasi wrote the article. I commented and said it's BS, and he said it was time. It's time. What do you mean time, John? Guy was there for 2 years. He's the pitching coach for 2 years. He won the World Series the first year, and the second year didn't work out.
Well, you know, he's been the organization a long time.
This is what we are.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah, but you know what? Those same people say it's time to move on are the ones that are criticizing the Red Sox on their GM search. You know, every 4 years, you can't hire and fire a GM.
Right,
you know, but no, after 2 years, it's time to move on for a pitching coach
who
won a World Series, and his staff was disappointing.
Yeah. Well,
so is he somewhere in the middle?
But
maybe
here's
the guy for the next 2 or 3 years. Then after 7 years, 6 years, it might be time. But after two?
Chris Sale, Nathan Eovaldi obviously had his own issues that had nothing to do with coaching. Price, nothing to do with coaching. The one person that you would think had a lot to do with coaching and an impact from the coaching was Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yes.
That would be the one guy I would say, listen, we've been working with this guy for the last 2 years. We've been challenging. We've been like putting him, we've been expecting a lot from him. That's a guy that you said, wow, good job, coaching staff. Good job, pitching coach. That is not a reason to fire a guy.
See, when they do this stuff, it always rattles me because, first of all, the scapegoat stuff doesn't work. The public's smart enough, and they see right through it. Second part of it, unless Alex Cora is doing it, because it's his staff. He's with them every single day. If somebody is making that decision above Alex Cora and you don't have your general manager in place, then, John Henry, you better get control of your organization. Because if you're going to make random moves over the next, let's say, month or two before you finally put a general manager in place, you're going to have a mess when that general manager gets here.
They kept him in the organization. They didn't just move on from him.
They like him.
They kept him in the organization, so he's doing advanced scouting. And I think, you know, personally, I think that's, you know, partly his call, too. I don't think he wants to go anywhere.
Because he
kids at a certain age.
Right, he wanted to stay.
Right, locally. I think he wants to stay around here locally, so he wants to stay here for a few more years, so be it. But, you know, they kept him in the organization and say, hey, good luck. Go somewhere else. We don't want you around.
See, but to me, that's...
And, I mean, Porcello, I'm not saying Dana doesn't have take some of the blame. They all do. Cora, you name it. Same, and Dana does as well. Porcello, he couldn't figure it out the whole time. So, you know, I understand that he's going to take some of the blame. They all do. The question is, does he deserve to get fired after that year? And I would say no. No. You know, they moved on from Andy Barquette, like the assistant hitting coach. So they still have their hitting coach, Tim Hyers. They're just looking for maybe a better mix, another type of personality. I get it. That's like an assistant. That's like moving on from your first base coach. That's nothing. But your pitching coach and your hitting coach, very important. And I think I just don't think he deserved to be gone. I think those players like working with him because they know how knowledgeable he is.
I hate to say it. It looks bad for Alex. It looks like Alex made the move. So if Alex didn't make the move and somebody's making the move above Alex in that organization for his own staff, that's not good. Mm. It's not good because if I'm Alex, if I like the guy and I think the guy's doing a good job, and a couple of times the question that you had asked that we just heard, I remember that question being asked, how much he was responsible for it, and he was extremely supportive. Now, maybe he was just saying it, but it makes no sense to me that the general manager or the owner, as you said, Christian, which could be very possible, the owner could be getting his fingers dirty.
Because don't the owners have
this
to co-sign
yeah,
on everything?
They, yep.
They wouldn't you say,
especially
okay,
in this time
why
right
do you guys
now
want to fire no Dana Lavangie? Because somebody has to ask. Somebody
well, his
asked
contract
for,
it must be up. So I think you're addressing
well, so,
his contract.
So then he wasn't fired. If his contract was up, then he was never
would
fired.
Would you call him the Four Horsemen?
Yes.
Okay, I think they made the call. And you say, well, you know, the owner's got to go through the owner. You know, this is
the call's got to go through the owner.
Yeah, but this is like, you know, Sam Kennedy said it the other day. John Henry, what, you know, the other day, too. I mean, you hire certain people below you to do a job. And there's a recommendation that comes forward. You know, so I just, you know, I just think that same with Dombrowski. There's a recommendation. You want to sign sale? Okay, if you say so, go ahead. But there's accountability if it doesn't work or it looks bad. I don't know. I don't think John Henry would get his hands in moving scouting department guys around and putting this guy in advanced scouting. I don't think he's controlled that. That's baseball operations. I think those guys made that call. I don't think Alex Cora made this call.
Now, who's baseball operations? Who are they? Is it just
Eddie
a group
Ramirez
of unnamed
Jr.
people?
Yeah, O'Halloran, the stat guy. Is it Zach Scott?
Yeah.
And Raquel Ferrer, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Is there any beef between those guys and Lavangi?
No, they've all been around
issues?
Forever. No, I know Eddie and
Dana's Lavangi's
been here.
Been here forever.
No, I know.
Different
facets. I'm curious. Years. Sorry, so that's he's the scapegoat? Hey, somebody's got to go. Who is it going to be? Well, we got to make.
Well, it can't
be Lavangi.
They can't be that naive that they think that the public is going to suddenly say, "Aha! That's why we only won 84 games. That's it." Nobody's buying that crap. The question I think is still with Alex Cora. So are you telling me that Alex Cora did not fight for Lavangi? Did not want Lavangi back?
If you're,
is that the case?
Did John Farrell? He didn't pick his staff, did he? Did he pick most of his staff?
Pick some of them.
You usually. Pick, you know, I mean, they'll
your
give
bench
it,
coach.
No,
what?
I don't think Alex That's picks insane. His bench coach. I don't think he did.
Didn't Alex bring in that
Renicky?
Yeah, he brought in Renicky.
Yeah,
so he picked his bench coach.
I don't think he did.
See, Alex had no choice because Alex, first time manager, you don't have the power. You don't have the choice to be able to sit
well,
there.
Well, first time manager, I think this was first time manager. We want experience.
You're right,
and you're going to get Renicky. I think he wanted Dana as his bench coach, and they didn't want it.
Is it fair to say that, okay, they just wanted a different personality? It's not that they don't like Dana Lavangi, because they obviously kept him on staff. He didn't go anywhere. They liked him enough to keep him, you know, employed. But maybe they just wanted a different personality. Maybe it's not so much of a contrast of Farrell to Cora.
It's sort of like the different manager, right? You're moving on from Dombrowski. We have a different vision.
Yeah.
So maybe they felt last year there's a different vision with this coach, you know, and maybe it's more of a former pitcher pitching coach who can help maybe more with mechanics, you know, and I know Dana can obviously help with mechanics, but maybe he's more of like that mental approach, game plan, seeing hitters, you know, seeing swing paths, knowing how to attack hitters, how to get guys out, the mental approach to pitching, those sort of things. That's his strength. The mechanical side of it, maybe they're looking for somebody more mechanically. That's their strength. So, and that's the thing. That's just their opinion. That maybe, they felt like the reason why Porcello wasn't good was because of mechanics. The reason why Chris Sale wasn't good was because of mechanics. Maybe that's how they feel, and that's why they're moving on.
So, again, I understand that if a contract is up with one of these coaches, that it's a problem. Okay. You simply go to these coaches and say, guys, we don't have a general manager in place. So I can't tell you what's going to happen to your future. We're still working on it right now, all right? But instead, they're making moves and letting people go before they put the new general manager in place. And they're letting the four interim guys do this. By the way, we had a three-headed monster, I think, filling in for Theo at one time, if you remember, Lou.
Yeah.
And we had three guys filling in.
That's when they made the second deal.
Exactly. And Larry ended up making a Beckett deal.
And Lowell.
So is Sam Kennedy going to make deals? I mean, you can't continue to operate like this, make changes, and then suddenly bring the guy in, the general manager, unless they may be looking at the four-headed monster and saying, maybe we can operate with the four here. We'll do something different that nobody else has ever done before. What if four guys?
I think what you're going to eventually see is a baseball operation. Eddie Romero's the GM, and he's going to have a couple of assistants, and it's going to come from that group. And it's still going to be, they'll have one leader of the four, but there'll be a baseball ops.
So their first order of business was to get rid of Dana Lavangi.
No. I mean.
Well, I'm just saying, if Eddie Romero stays and he becomes he's obviously has an influence on, you know, what moves they make.
Well, I think when it comes to coaches, you got to notify them early on in case they want to go elsewhere. You know what I mean? The first thing they did was the scouting department. They started changing some of the big league scouting department and personnel and everything else and moving guys up here, moving guys up there, getting rid of, you know, some of the old guys and Frank Wren along with Dombrowski.
But
when it comes
to
coaches, you got to notify your coaches, I think, right away. Now that the season's over, job openings, don't know if he's going to be the only guy going. We'll see. I don't know if Renicki's going to be here. I don't know.
But why wouldn't you wait until you have the general manager in place to actually make the decision? I mean, it seems ass backwards to me. I don't know what they're doing. I really don't. And I think you're right, Lou. I'm leaning towards, I think they think we can get three or four guys that'll be much better than just having one guy, and that never works. It never works.
No, don't say I'm with it, because I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to have a voice. And these four will still have a voice, but I think a guy like Eddie will be the GM and say, like, Billy Bean is the baseball op guy. I'm just throwing it out there. But you know what? You never know.
So Billy
either.
Bean will be the guy then.
No, it's like Theo and Somebody Jed Hoyer. Like Jed Hoyer's the GM. Does he do anything?
Right. Yes, I do believe he does.
Well, I think Theo does more.
Yeah.
So I think whoever's the baseball ops guy will run the organization. They'll have a green GM underneath them, a young GM, inexperienced GM, because the baseball ops will run the show. But whoever that baseball ops guy could come in and say, I don't want these guys either.
Yeah, I think it still remains. I think it still remains to be seen if they're going to have a strong voice at the top. They may go in a different direction here.
I agree with what's been said.
There you go. All right, 617-779-7937. Coming up shortly, Chris Mannix will join us. The latest of the NBA. Apparently, China wants nothing to do with the NBA with anything now. And those games that they were all planning on playing, they may all be canceled. They have major, major problem right now going with their partnership with China. 617-779-7937.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
I want to be clear that, and I think there's been some confusion around this, we are not apologizing for Daryl exercising his freedom of expression. I regret, again, having communicated directly with many friends in China, that so many people are upset.
We'll have to see if Silver's reasoning holds any sway. Chinese, so far, it hasn't done much. CCTV, the state-run television here, has actually suspended broadcasting any of the NBA's preseason games. Also, the Bureau of Education canceled an NBA Cares event that the Nets were supposed to do today. They were supposed to dedicate a learning center at an elementary school. Instead, the Bureau said they didn't want them there.
It's gotten worse than that, Rachel. They have canceled some of those G League games that they were playing, kind of minor league basketball, and already they're now reporting that there's Daryl Rovell is reporting there's a good chance that the games that the NBA teams are playing over there are not going to be played because China's had it. They are literally painting, and you tweeted it out, Christian, they are literally painting all of the signs that if Houston Rocket yeah. logos everywhere.
Them too.
Maybe they're the Astros careful. As well. But listen, I'll give the commissioner credit. He tried to go out there today and he said, okay, it didn't go so well yesterday. I tried to hold on to the money that we got from China. On the other hand, now I got the Americans pissed off at me because we're not supporting democracy. So he went back out there again today and he tried to give both sides of it. Do you think it worked? So the Chinese listened to him and this was
with
their
this,
response.
With this media, the NBA media? I would say yes, it has worked because they have stayed away from this thing. Critical of the NBA. Everyone, NBA media, you're kidding me? For the most part, it's like, well, hey, you know, come on. It's
hey, get in line.
Yeah, get in line. Everyone's critical.
Do your part.
Glory. You know, you don't understand this? No, I don't understand. You're supporting communist China. No, I don't. Over Hong Kong. Sorry, I don't. Then stand on your freaking pedestal and soapbox and tell me about how every other social issue in this country and civil rights and take the NBA All-Star game out of Carolina because of transgender bathrooms, and yet you're going to go over there and not support Hong Kong's fight for freedom and
well,
democracy?
That's it. The hypocrisy is the problem. The problem is if they were saying nothing before, Lou, and they stayed out of any of the issues and they strictly played basketball and stuck to basketball, you say, okay, that's their policy. Instead, they wanted to be woke.
You know what they're doing right now?
They wanted to talk about all of these issues, and they gave their their players the liberty to do so.
And I tell you what, who is the biggest, who has the weakest spine or is the most spineless out of all of them, who's always beating the drum and is always in front of every issue and giving his opinion on everything, regardless of how it affects or how it looks for the franchise that he coaches for, is Steve Kerr.
Right.
Steve Kerr just flat out just avoiding questions, you know, deflecting as much as possible, wants nothing to do with
it. He suddenly has become a dumb human being.
Listen to this. Steve, obviously the big story in the league right now is, you know, Daryl Morey's tweet and everything going on with China. Do you have any thoughts on that situation?
Actually, I don't. I mean, it's a really bizarre international story, and a lot of us don't know what to make of it. So it's something I'm reading about, just like everybody is, but I'm not going to comment further than that.
He's a liar. He's a liar. He's got no idea what he's
I'm
talking
about. I'm
actually
enjoying all
hey,
this.
Hey, real quickly, before you get too in-depth in all this reading, they're communist. Now what? Is that a proven fact? Are they really commies? What are we doing here? He completely deflects it. I'll give Curtis a little credit for this one. If Bill, Brady, Kraft, or any of these guys were avoiding this topic, every talking head on ESPN from Bomani Jones to Dan Le Batard would be ripping him and them a new one for not doing something about it. If this was the NFL, so the NBA, the most woke league, right, in all of professional sports, as long as it doesn't affect their bottom line and it doesn't affect the dollars that they have coming in. They're not woke anymore.
So this is where Steve Kerr is so full of it, and he knows he's a smart guy. He's not a dope. He's playing a dope.
He knows
playing
exactly the role of a dope what's going
today. On. Okay, so these guys have told us it's all
bizarre.
Along, including Steve Kerr. He has defended players in the past when they have been critical of Trump, when they have been critical of police brutality and other issues, social issues we have in this country. He has said, and I'm quoting, "We have a responsibility to be the voice of the people." Okay? Does he understand right now that he and his league is doing business with a country that still operates with concentration camps? Roughly right now, 1 million Muslims are in prison in these concentration camps. It was Steve Kerr and others who criticized the president for saying anything about Muslims. Do you remember all that? And now suddenly,
how are they with illegal immigration?
He's dumb about this now? Suddenly he doesn't understand? He doesn't see the videos that are coming out of Hong Kong? He's talking about police brutality. Every time a protester goes out there, they get beaten up by the so-called law enforcement. Beaten up with
sticks. Well, you know, the thing is that...
That's what happened to Adam Silver.
We all get it. You are talking about a $4 billion, right, as far as the relationship with China pays.
Million and a half for just the Rockets.
$1.5 billion.
Correct, for just the Rockets.
Just the Houston Rockets.
Right.
We are talking about some serious cash. Now, this is all about the hypocrisy. This is all about the NBA puffing their chests, as you said, like the woke league. Mm-hmm. Is that what they call them? The most woke league?
Yeah, woke, man.
And they're just all up there saying, yeah, we don't have the problems because the NFL, because we're allowed to voice our opinions, and we're gonna. And we're gonna talk about social issues and civil rights and every. And they just stand at their little soapbox and they preach, guys like Steve Kerr and Pop. And then all of a sudden, you get into a real difficult discussion, because those discussions are easy. You support equality in America, everyone's loving life, right? You're against illegal immigration, you're for illegal immigration. Let everybody in, everybody's clapping for you. This one's hard. And you're going to run and hide. We get why you're running and hide, because it's about $4 billion.
I don't think this was hard at all.
No, well, I'm just saying it's $4 billion.
So?
So that's a lot of money.
Well, they told us it was all about principle before.
Well,
did they not
say
that?
The thing is this. When they leave and they try to straighten this thing out, I don't want to hear another word. I don't want to hear you talk about a damn thing. Your barbershop, LeBron, zip it.
Yeah, but you know what?
Because I will continue to. People should just constantly sit there at the podium and say, how do you feel about Hong Kong? What do you think about communist China? How do you feel about Hong Kong?
Oh, you want to talk about there?
Social?
Why do you support it?
Yeah, civil rights in our country. Yeah. How do you feel about Hong Kong fighting for their freedom against communist China?
But this, very tough.
But every single time.
But there's a big difference.
It's a very bizarre international story, Lou, and we need to all read up on it.
But it's not hard to read up on it. It's available.
Steve
it's been
Kerr
available for some time.
He's
running an eye. But no, Lou, all of the stuff they did before and criticizing the country and coming out and being ultra woke, it worked perfectly for them. It played to their crowd.
Yeah.
They got Twitter
now
applause.
They
made money on it, Lou. They didn't lose money. They made money. This is an issue where now they got themselves into a whole big mess. We will give you the response to the commissioner today by China. You will not believe it. And then Chris Mannix from SI will join us and tell us what the NBA is going to do next. That's all coming up right here on OMF.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF talking about the NBA and their problems right now with China, and joining us from SI and, of course, his crossover podcast.
In China.
Just back from his cross-country tour with the podcast is our buddy Chris Mannix. Good to talk to you, Chris.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Chris.
Chris, shouldn't you be in China right now? Are they banned you from going to China?
Some countries, maybe. China hasn't banned me yet.
So I saw you tweeted the same thing that I thought this morning. I said, okay, Adam Silver went back to the podium, and he tried again to see if he could level this thing off a little bit. And then I picked up and saw through the translation the China response. I want to read it quickly to our audience here, Chris. We've noticed that Adam Silver, who is participating in an event in Japan, has responded to General Manager Mori's post of inappropriate Hong Kong-related remarks. We are strongly dissatisfied, and we oppose Silver's claim to support Mori's right of free expression. Yes, I did say that. We believe that any speech that challenges national sovereignty and social stability is not within the scope of freedom of speech. And to this end, CCTV Sports Channel, Central Radio Television Administration has decided to immediately suspend the current broadcast arrangements of the NBA preseason, immediately investigate all cooperation and exchanges involved in the NBA. So what does he do? What does the commissioner do now?
He does absolutely nothing, because I think he's done all he can do in this situation. And the best course of action is to keep repeating the thrust of exactly what he did today, which is, to kind of paraphrase it, we support Daryl Morey's right to voice his opinion on subjects, as he has all players and coaches' rights to do that domestically, and we understand that there are consequences to all that. Any attempt to criticize Daryl Morey, to threaten his job, to accede in any way, would be a public relations disaster for the NBA and for Adam Silver in the U.S., and I think they know that. So I think all he can do, Glenn, is keep repeating everything he said today and just hope the fallout isn't as bad as it looks.
So, Chris, what happens? Does China just pull? I mean, I know there's $4 billion. It's $1.5 billion just with the Houston Rockets. I'm imagining that is gone. Are they pulling all money?
Well, for now, right? I mean, if this was a U.S. situation, I would say, you know, this can is certainly reconcilable. I mean, the U.S. news cycle is like 15 minutes nowadays. I mean, I just don't have any firm grasp on just how long China is going to hold a grudge here. I mean, not to give a history lesson, but of course, this back and forth with China and Hong Kong has been going on for a while.
Oh, centuries. It may go on for centuries.
I mean, it's gone on for a while. So yeah. I don't know how seriously they're going to take a tweet from an NBA general manager and the NBA's decision to kind of shrug their shoulders at it, I don't know what the ramifications of that are going to be. At the same time, China can't put the toothpaste back in the tube here. They let the NBA in, and as we've seen with the numbers, 300 million people are playing basketball, 500 million last year watched basketball. Game six alone, 21 million watched that game over in China. There's an appetite for NBA basketball there. So I don't really believe, and it's more speculation on my part because it's all speculation at this point, but I don't really believe that China's going to say we're done with the NBA. They may say we're not going to show Rockets games, and the league may have to live with that, and the Houston Rockets may have to live with that, but I don't believe that China's going to all of a sudden do a 180 and close the door on the NBA.
Well, it's funny because I feel like there's just a level of hypocrisy with the NBA players and, you know, being so woke, and then here they all are just really just showing that they have no spine, apologizing for something that is pretty innocent if you're from the States. Yet the players themselves are almost politicking for the NBA to make things right.
I don't disagree with you in some ways. Players, I don't think I don't know if the players looking out for the NBA, they're looking out for themselves. Every one of them's got big shoe deals, and every one of them makes big money in China. I mean, it's no coincidence that every summer, guys like Harden and LeBron and Steph Curry and others make a trip over to China to do clinics and just chill for their, you know, their new gear that's out there because they know how much money ultimately comes in. At the same time, just because, you know, Steph Curry goes at Donald Trump or Steve Kerr goes at Donald Trump, I don't know that it makes them obligated to weigh in on Hong Kong versus China. I just don't know that they should be required to weigh in on every issue because they weigh in on some domestic issues. It just doesn't do it. The James Harden stuff was weird. I mean, I wish a PR person had gotten with him at some point to come up with something better than "I'm sorry, we love China." Like that to me didn't scream of something that was necessarily prepared, but. You know, I think you'll see a lot more boilerplate responses moving forward.
Chris, they're not obligated, but it's easy what they do back here in the States because polls have shown that a majority of the NBA fan base and the players certainly agree with them. So they get the Twitter applause, and it's easy, and they probably make more money in the end. They show up on all the nighttime TV shows, and it works for them. In this case, they look like hypocrites because they're doing it here for the money, and you're right. You know, what is LeBron making off the shoes, the Nike shoes out there in Japan and making a fortune? So they want it both ways, but they really look like it's all about the almighty dollar right now, and they can't avoid that.
And this is why we're in something of uncharted territory, because this is the first time where the money is affected. I had a general manager talk to me earlier in the week. He said, look, Adam Silver has done an amazing job of, with inclusiveness, with diversity, with, you know, just, you know, turning the league in a positive direction every which way you look. But ultimately, he's about the money. He has consistently in his commissionership been about making the NBA as much money as humanly possible. And now here he is, potentially losing hundreds of millions of dollars from a market like China. Individually, players, same thing like you said. They can bash Donald Trump and go after the bathroom law in North Carolina and really gain from it and benefit from that type of outspokenness. This is entirely different. This is something that if they weigh in a way that they probably should and probably actually believe, it could potentially affect their bottom line. That's why I don't think anybody can accurately predict how this all plays out.
Yeah, I just think it's, you mentioned what happened in Carolina at the All-Star game, and then Steve Kerr today saying, you know, I really need to read more about it. Like, this is a guy, he and Pop have, you know, opinions on everything going on in this country to gain favor, and something like this comes up, and he hides behind, I need to read more about it. It's just a really bad look for him.
Yeah, and I get that, but I think, too, in specific to Steve Kerr, you know his family history. I mean, his father was killed overseas, and he's got some strong feelings that way. And look, it goes back to my original statement that would I like to see, you know, NBA players who – you know, fight for individual freedoms, transgender freedoms, LGBTQ, and whatever it is out here. Would I like to see them kind of weigh in on the fact that, yes, if you want to examine this closely, you know, Hong Kong is having its civil rights, you know, threatened, you know, by China. They're having an agreement that was made back in the 1990s, you know, effectively violated by China. But if they don't want to weigh in, I don't particularly care. I would like them not to be apologizing to Sean. That was what bothered me and kind of sparked me to write on Sunday. What the NBA said, it's regrettable. You don't see the NBA out there, you know, when Greg Popovich just tattoos Donald Trump. You don't see them apologizing to conservatives for what, you know, a liberal like Popovich said to Trump. I don't think you need to apologize to the people of China for being offended. And, you know, if you want to do anything, you know, the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, Joe Tsai, that letter he put on Facebook, I don't know what that was. I mean, that was
embarrassing.
That was basically propaganda that he's putting out there, not at all mentioning countless human rights violations that take place and the fact that China is legally in the wrong with this Hong Kong stuff.
He's got a conflict of interest, though. I mean, he's the co-founder of Alibaba, which is their Amazon. And by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if you get more ownership like that down the road with money from China, unless this thing totally blows up.
So Chris, basically China's just having one big giant temper tantrum, right? Because if what you say is true, what else can Silver do? I mean, how far will he have to go to make nice with China? Seems like he's done it. Now he's just almost have to wait for them to stop kicking and screaming, you know, on the kitchen floor.
That's exactly what he has to do. And you just can't do anything. If China elects to pull out, you know, of broadcasting certain games, just say, look, that's the consequences of, you know, living in a country with free speech. We encourage this. We get benefit greatly from it domestically when some of our guys say some of the things that they said. You know, not going to the White House, I think, has certainly made the NBA look a lot better in recent years amongst a large section of its fans. This is kind of the consequence you have to live with. I have seen some people write, even one of my colleagues at SI wrote it, that the NBA should pull out of China. I mean, that's just a slippery slope you get on because, okay, you also have, like, you know, offices in Russia. And when Mikhail Prokhorov owned that team, you were deeply involved in bringing games over there. You can't start cherry-picking what countries you go to and what ones you don't. I mean, I think you live with what China does, but you don't necessarily let it affect your business.
All right, we're talking to Chris Mannix from SI. Here's what I don't understand. They talk about bridging the sides together, and the commissioner has actually done it. So we have Ted Cruz, we have people on the right, we have Julian Castro on the left, we have Beto O'Rourke, we have all of these people who are all together. And the ironic part about all of this is, has anybody noticed that Trump, who could pounce on the NBA, is saying nothing because he has his own interest in this, because he agreed to be silent during the trade negotiations about the Hong Kong issue. This is crazy. But I got to tell you, I don't think China's going to give in. Have you seen what they're doing today? They're painting out all the NBA logos. Are these games going to be played this week over there, Chris? Because I'm hearing that there's a good chance China may cancel the games.
Yeah, and I think even if they don't, there's a decent chance the NBA could pull the plug just based on they have no idea what kind of reception that they're going to get. I mean, to show how crazy this became, like I spent my Sunday night talking to some former deputy national security advisors, like, what am I doing involved in, like, talking to these kind of people? But they were saying that, you know, over the next, you know, couple of weeks, the state-run media there, which influences the minds of all the people that live in China, they're just going to be feeding them this anti-NBA kind of message, and who knows how that manifests itself. I mean, what kind of stuff is going to be happening at these games? What kind of reception these players are going to get? Not to mention, I haven't heard from LeBron. I mean, LeBron is over there, like, and he's a human starter pistol. Like,
That's what I was going to ask you, Chris. Are you more worried about what LeBron is going to say about this or Kyrie Irving?
I can't even imagine what Kyrie would say. Like, can't we all just get along and, you know, one of those kind of kumbaya moments? I mean, LeBron is he's one of the smartest players I've ever covered. So there's no question that he is talking to his people at Nike and figuring out what he wants to do. While I think it's more likely than not that you get some kind of, look, I don't want to involve myself in this kind of dispute, I just hope things get resolved peacefully kind of statement, would it shock me if LeBron said something along the lines of, look, Hong Kong's in a fight for freedom, I support them? I don't expect it, but it wouldn't shock me, just because of how he kind of views himself as this leader on these types of issues.
All right. Should be interesting. Chris, thank you. Next time we'll talk some hoops, all right?
Anytime, guys.
See you later. Chris Mannix of SI. It is a completely bizarre story, but you know, you were talking about that it's almost like a game of chicken. I don't think China plays chicken.
No,
you look at history.
It's a temper tantrum.
It's beyond a temper tantrum. What they do is they shut you off. So in other words, if you churn on them, you know how some people, if somebody churns on you, they just shut you off from their life and you no longer exist.
Oh, I can't wait till that happens.
That's what.
No, see, we're used to dealing with people does. Like you said, temper tantrum, right? Like sort of calming down,
yep, settling,
and sitting there saying, okay, let's be reasonable, okay? You know, and we always joke about it, but. These are real communists.
Yes. As opposed to what, the fake communists?
Well, we always joke, you know? Like, what are you, a communist?
Those guys that are communist on Halloween.
What are you, a communist? What are you, a communist? No, they are, okay? Real communists, okay? And they are not reasonable. And I tell you, I'm not even joking about them. They've just scrubbed the Houston Rockets from everywhere. You can't buy their merchandise.
Nothing.
From the internet, from the shops, nothing. And I tell you, can you imagine? You want to walk around Beijing wearing a Houston Rockets jersey right now?
You get shot.
No, you would get arrested.
You know who will be wearing them? The protesters out in Hong Kong.
Exactly.
They'll be wearing them.
And that's even more. So now the Houston Rockets are a symbol of resistance.
I'll tell you how crazy. Guys, I'll tell you how crazy it is. So this is unbelievable. There are all these Twitter accounts that have popped up, okay, all over the place that are ripping the crap out of Daryl Morey. It turns out we're finding out that they're all fake, that they're all like somebody's got themselves, a parody accounts out there. OK, they got more parody accounts than the Minifans do. And they're just destroying Daryl Morey. But it's all fake. And it's all being done by what? By the government, by China. It's incredible what the length they will go to tell their people you are no longer allowed to pay attention to the NBA. We're going to eliminate the NBA out of your life.
You know why?
I don't think Adam Silver knows what he's in for.
You know
here.
Why? Because they're communists.
Real ones. Not the
real
fake time.
Communists.
Not the real fake ones. The real ones.
Not the jokey.
All right, we're going to get to the phone calls and we'll get your reaction. Plus, you will not believe it. Stephen A. Smith. He prides himself on being the champion of the people, right? When there's a cause, Stephen A. stands for principle. Hey, y'all! He just buckled under. He is the biggest stooge for ESPN and for the NBA you have ever, ever heard. He did it on TV today to the point where Max Kellerman was shocked, out of his mind. Shocked. We'll get to it coming up next. Get used to a health plan to put you first. Always Health Partners at alwayshealthpartners.org.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.